What I want to talk about tonight, I got a word from the Lord. So, but it's been going on for quite some time. Hallelujah. I was reading and I kept seeing things pop up about a bondservant. I'm like, okay, well, what is a bondservant? And so I started doing some research and stuff, and so Paul's a bondservant, Simon's a bondservant. But the definition of a bondservant is a devoted and helpful follower who is humble before God, ready to act when you called upon him and do whatever it takes. Now, let's go back in time. Let's do a little history lesson. Now, the Jewish, but back in the Jewish time, as the Bible was, a bondservant, you had, let me start off with this. Whenever people got, they had this huge debt. They incurred this big old debt they couldn't repay. So if they can't repay this debt, they get thrown in jail. And now somebody can come through and have mercy and grace upon these people and pay off their debt. And they have to go work for these people for 7 years. They have to be slaves for 7 years. This was a Jewish custom. And after 7 years, that they would become free. Now, whenever, in certain instances, when the debt was paid, that they were set free, they looked back and realized that I could never repay this debt to these people, whoever saved me, because so much incurred, I can never repay what they did for me. They set me free. So instead of being set free, they became a servant to them. They carried out what they wanted to do, just what Jesus wants us to be, is his bondservant. So they're loyal to the person that they paid off the debt forever and ever and ever. They become a servant to them, whatever they want, whatever task that they may need. And that's what Jesus wants from us, is to be his servant. And tonight's teaching is called What It Takes. What does it take to be a servant? That's a very deep question. We're going to get into a couple things, quite a few things actually, about what it takes to be a servant. It takes, first of all, you got to have the heart. We're not born with that heart. Let's go to jump to Jeremiah 17:9 real quick, please. Hallelujah. It takes the heart exchange. We're not born with the heart of God. As you're about to see, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So we have a deceitful heart. In order to become a servant, do what it takes, you have to have that heart exchange. So with that being said, let's go to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. Just a couple up there. It's in between Genesis and Revelation. Hallelujah. Where's my drum roll? Angela, my drum roll, please. All day long. All day long. Hallelujah. Love you, Lord. Thank you. So, in order to do what it takes, the first thing we got to do is you got to have the heart. You got to have the heart of God. And so Ezekiel, we're going to read Ezekiel 36:26-27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. So the first thing we need to do is get the heart exchange. Ask for the Lord to put a new heart in you. Get the heart of God, the one that's compassion, loving, full of mercy, full of grace, full of kindness. We need that heart. Amen. And we cannot cleanse our heart by ourselves. We just can't do it on our own. We need God. We need God's help for that heart exchange. We speak that prayer and let God take over. Let him do that full exchange of that heart. So the first thing it takes to be a servant is a heart exchange. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 2, please. verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." With that being said, that's our calling. Our calling is what God called us and created us to do. Create us to do his will. It takes a servant's heart to fulfill this calling. So we got to have that heart. That's the number one thing. The next thing is, man, we need the Holy Spirit. Boom. Now I can't brush my teeth without the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's face it. You can't go anywhere without the Holy Spirit. Everything we need to do, being Christians, is based upon the Holy Spirit. He is our friend. He is our buddy. He's our everything. So we need the heart exchange. The next thing we do, we need to baptize in the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 19, please. Verses 1 through 6. "And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So we need a heart exchange, and we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, being a servant takes a lot of getting out of me. Me, 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 me. No, I. The Holy Spirit is not going to work through you if you're based upon your selfish ambitions and you're all about yourself. That's not serving. You can volunteer, but volunteering is based upon your own self. There's a difference between volunteering and being a servant. Got to have the servant's heart, and you need the Holy Spirit. 1 and 2. Amen? Now, speaking of getting out of yourself, what is one of the other main things we got to do? We got to die to ourselves. Amen? That is a fantastic phrase around here. Good day to die. Amen? When you get that heart exchange, and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, things start changing. You start seeing things better. You start, man, realizing what an idiot you actually are. I mean, it's like, man, whoo, that was pretty dumb, you know. I'm a knucklehead, and I'm number one knucklehead. Amen. But he'll start changing you. You'll start getting the character of Christ, and that's what it's all about. Amen. Luke 9, verses 23 to 27. He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gives the whole world and is in himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed, when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." So one of the first things that we got to do is deny yourself. You cannot be a servant of Christ when you're up in yourself. It's not going to happen. You're going to end up serving yourself. You're going to set serving the prideful old man. So when you're serving yourself, what are you doing? Pride of life, lust of flesh, and pride of life, lust of flesh, and I did that to you last time. Pride of life, yeah. Boom. I even said it like 4 times fast in the mirror, too. And I kept thinking, it's like, last time I did that, I had to stare at Katie. But hallelujah, so I did it again, so. Right on key. Amen. But, yeah, it says daily. I mean, the heart exchange is daily. It isn't you're just going to all of a sudden get that heart exchange and boom, it's there forever. Man, all it takes is one compromise and it's gone. I mean, it's a daily battle. You wake up every single morning fighting. That's what it's about. You take the fight to them. You don't wait to get beat up. We're called to be first strikers. That's when the first thing it is. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. And to follow, is when you're following, that means you're following Jesus. You're being Christ-like. So Jesus is the ultimate servant, is he not? So we're to be servants. So it takes the heart. It takes the Holy Spirit. And it takes dying to yourself. It takes being in the new man. Amen. And this is a big one. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, please. Verses 1 through 11. It says, this is a verse that we all should know. We say this verse quite often. But we're going to say it again. It says, the elders who are among you, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples of the flock, And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all you be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. Now, stop real quick. Being submissive to your elders does not have an age. Y'all know that, right? I mean, just because an elder is somebody who is above you and sees spiritually better than you do. Now, it doesn't have nothing to do with age. It has to do with spiritual maturity. Remember that, amen? It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Yes. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It takes humility to be God's servant. Amen. Someone who is proud is arrogant and only thinks of himself. Hallelujah. They think they can do everything on their own, and it feels that they're better than others. Pride protects self, protects that old man. Amen. Someone who is humble is modest, willing to do whatever they're asked to do, and doesn't insist on being the first. We cannot do it alone. We need the Lord. So we need to be humble. Big piece of humble pie, because it says right here, God resists the proud. So you're being walking around prideful. You think you're going to have that servant's heart? No, you're going to be serving yourself. You're going to be serving your selfish ambitions. Watch what you serve. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, so we need to be humble. We need to die to ourselves. We definitely need the Holy Spirit, by all means. And we need a heart exchange. The next thing we need to do, we need to be like Jesus, man. If it was only that easy, right? We need to be like Jesus. He is, and we break off every single idol in our life. An idol is someone gets between you and God. The only idol you should have is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You need to, if I see Jesus in you, I'm going to say, I like you because I see Jesus in you. Not because I don't idolize you, I idolize Jesus. That's what we need to do. It's the only idol of our life should be Jesus, the Lord. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 49, please. And everything we do, we need to say, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus do this? Every single thing. Idolize Jesus. Because he is the word that became flesh. I mean, he came here purposely just for that. So we can look upon him for the answers. Because he is the ultimate servant. Isaiah 49, verses 3 through 7. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. So I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant rulers, kings shall see and rise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Jesus is the ultimate example of a servant. His life and his teachings show us how important it is to lead with love, compassion, and a servant's heart. Everything we need to do needs to emulate the Lord. That's when he walked on this earth. So we can be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is, to be Christ-like. Amen? You know, to believe is what? To follow. Amen. It takes a lot of love. A lot of love to be a servant. What do you think? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 1. Everybody raise their hands. Repeat after me. Lord, you need to do through me what I cannot do on my own. Help me love others the way you love me. Amen. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. That's the old self, right? Amen. Or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of another. And that goes back to, in Genesis, in Cain and Abel says, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, yeah, you absolutely are. You are your brother's keeper. You are to look out for one another. That's part of being a servant, is take care of one another. Take care of yourself. Take care of the others around you. Amen? Where was that? Five. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything we do, we need to emulate Jesus. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He did sacrifice. He's the ultimate servant for us. Look at Jesus. So we need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be humble. We need a heart exchange. That's some of the things. What's some of the other things you think we need? We need obedience. Oh, we need obedience. Oh, boy. That's a tough one sometimes. Because that old man wants to rebel. I know, man, I got to get my prayer closet sometimes. I want to do this, do that. Me. I want to, man. But nope. You got to obey the Lord. In order to serve the Lord, you got to obey the Lord in everything we do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That was the First Samuel, right? Amen. So we must be obedient to be the servants of God. Let's go to 1 John 2, please. 3 through 6. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He also says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So in order to serve the Lord, to do what it takes, we need obedience. You got to obey what he says. That means obeying his commandments. Everything he says is a commandment. Amen? That's an everyday battle, man. It does get a little easier, though. Once you just kick old man in the butt. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. Says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So when you get that heart exchange, he puts a law in your heart. And you know, you have that conscience, you have the Holy Spirit. Now you know what's right and wrong. You know what to obey. You should know what voice is in your head to obey. Amen? Are you going to have the devil pushes and the Holy Spirit leads? So you obey the voice that leads. And if you're not sure what to obey, you take a step back and you trust, rest, and wait, and you get godly counsel. Because you don't want to obey the voice of a stranger. And when you really take a step back and you realize what voice you're supposed to obey, man, it's not that difficult. Once you realize you take the paths, you react instead of you respond instead of reacting. Amen? Now there's other things that we need to do what it takes. We need to show integrity. We need to go show good stewardship. We got to be good listeners. We need to be courageous. We always need to be aware. Always aware of our surroundings to be a good servant, because you never know what's going to pop up, because you got to be available any point in time. I mean, part of being a servant is to be completely out of your own timing. I mean, you can be watching TV and you get a call, go serve somewhere. Man, you got to put that TV down and go that, because that's what you're called to do. We're called to serve. That's what being a servant is. That has to do what it takes. And one other thing I want to talk about, another thing that one of the qualities and what it takes to be a servant is empathy. Empathy is a big one. Let's go to Book of Luke. Luke 10, please. 25 through 37 is what I'm going to read. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Stop right there. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Can you honestly look at everybody beside you and say you love that person as much as you love yourself? That's a tough one. We really need to check ourselves, man. That it's a hard walk. And by no means have any of us made it. So we all always got to work on it. Man, I read a statistic stating that it takes one of every four times, the three times people don't look out for the neighbor like they do themselves. It only happens one in four times. That's not a very good statistic. Not good at all to show the empathy, but it takes to love your neighbor as yourself. amen. Where was I? Well, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, whatever more you spend. When I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as we see here, the religious person was walking by, he didn't want to be inconvenienced. He was walking down the street, he saw this guy just suffering, and he could have did something. He didn't want to come out of his way. He maybe thought maybe this guy was lying, he was going to get beat up or robbed or something, but he just kept on going. He thought about himself. Now, the Good Samaritan came up, and he was going his own way, and he went out of his way to show compassion on us, man. Now, not only to show compassion on him, but helped in a way of empathy, of setting him to a place to where he could be completely healed and show him the way out. That's what empathy is. Empathy is, we need empathy to be a servant of cause of action, and can be summed up by the ability to respond to people by connecting, understanding, and relating to them to empower a positive change. Being a servant, we have to show empathy, because not only do you got to show compassion and love for the person, but you have to show the change. You got to be able to change them. Show them. That's what your testimony is so powerful. Because you can look back and somebody's going through the same stuff you went through. It's like, look, brother, man, I did through this too. But this is what you can do to fix it. You show the compassion, and you show the positive change the way to point them in the right direction. That's empathy, and you have to have empathy to be a servant of Christ. It's a very essential tool we need to do. And each and every day we got to check ourselves, man, because do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's a tough question. I mean, I know I fail a lot, because it is so much easier to love the persons you love than love the persons that your enemies who don't like you. Do you pray for your people who don't like you? It's easier to pray for the people you like, right? Man, we're called to love everybody. So we need to pray also for the people and help the people who don't really like us. That's what a true servant does. Amen. All right, so an acronym for CURE, CURE, is just what I said. CURE, connecting, understanding, relating, and empowering to change. That's empathy. Now, this is a perfect parable that shows empathy through serving. Amen. From that, let's go to 1 Peter 4, please. Start at verse 9. Everybody good? That's a trick question. Is everybody good? People say, nah, man. Blessed, highly favored. Go on, right? Go on. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Ooh, boy, that's a good one. I think we all should write that down 10 times. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now this is the message. The Message Bible is like a really fun Bible to read. This the same scripture I'm going to read from the Message. This is what the Message Bible says about 1 Peter 4, 10-11. It says, be quick to give a meal to the hungry and a bed to the homeless cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be the evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, on course to the end of time. Oh, yes. How powerful is that, man? Everything we do, we need to do unto the Lord. And do it cheerfully. Do it willingly. It takes that heart exchange. It takes, I mean, and it's not easy, man. You got to say, inconvenience me. To be a servant, you're going to be inconvenienced. And you call it anytime, anywhere. To be that servant. We're called to pray for one another. We're called to help one another. Love on one another. I mean, because we're, when it comes down to it, man, I mean, it's a crazy world out there. And you don't want to You don't want the blessing. You want to be the blessing. I mean, Brother Jason said that in a teaching a while back, and that is stuck in my brain. That is just one thing I want to be. I don't want the blessing. I want to be the blessing. I want to be the reason why somebody goes to the Lord and puts a smile on their face and goes and starts praying, goes and starts crying to the Lord and just puts even to the small things, just put a simple smile when somebody's sad, brighten up their day. Sometimes all it takes is a simple wave. You don't know. We don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know. You can't be. You don't know what's going on. You're not in their shoes. That's why you always need to be Christ-like to somebody. Show the compassion and love and show that empathy. But it takes a lot of dying. Because, it takes a lot of dying. There's many times you just get up and it's like, man, not today. Lord's like, oh yeah, today. 10 times fold today. I'm gonna show you. And the reward is phenomenal once you get out of yourself. You realize just how much of a blessing it is to bless people. Because that's what it's all about, man. I mean, when you get out of yourself, man, it's so much easier to love on one another. And you want to be that good brother, good sister that they look up to so you can seek godly counsel. Because it takes a lot of stuff to be that servant that God wants us to be. Because when all comes into it, that's our calling. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. Do your best, work from the heart, for your real master is the Lord. Be confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. Amen? Everything we need to do is for the Lord. It's kingdom purpose. That's what it needs to be. It's not for Shane's purpose. It's not, you know, me, I. When you're in me, I, you're not doing serving nothing but self. It states in Luke 16:13, you ain't got to go there. But you can write that down. It says you can only serve one master. You serve two masters, not going to work. God or mammon. Mammon means man. Are you serving yourself or you're serving God? I mean, if you're on that fence, it's a well-told little thing that Satan owns the fence. So, you know, there's no in-betweens. Who are you serving? Amen? Let's go to Matthew 25. We'll close with this. Verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it, what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, You knew what I reaped where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not scattered seed. For you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable should appeal for us, especially the ones who love the Lord. When we eventually face God, will he say this to us? At the same time, it makes us think, are we good? Are we reliable? Are we good servants? What do I have to do before God will say this to me? Are you being the servant you need to be? Is God going to say this when that time comes? Because we're all going to be judged for our actions. Is he going to say that to you? Or is he going to cast you in outer darkness and say, I don't know you? We all have talents that we can invest in God's kingdom. Every single one of us has talents. There's no exceptions. Every single one of us has special talents that is gifted from the Lord. Be a blessing for someone. Pray for the sick and needy. This is a talent that's given to all. Let our gentleness be evident to all. The point is that we should be committed to God according to our own special talents. We should sow that we should have received from God the gifts he gives us for him and his kingdom. As we do this, what a wonderful promise awaits. We are welcome to the Lord's feast. One day we will stand before him, and what a joy it will be to hear. That's saying, man. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in, man. I mean, isn't that what it's all about, man? Don't you want to see all your loved ones there and all everybody you can, man? Get them there. That's what it's about to be a servant, man. The time is short. Be that person. Be the light in the darkness. You know, shine the Lord's light in everything we do. It takes, man. It takes the heart exchange. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes humbleness. Takes obedience. Everything we're being taught here is for a reason. Man, it's grown me wrong. It's fantastic. It's awesome that you're not on drugs or alcohol, but there's a bigger calling on your life. Amen. Accept that calling. Amen. Everybody good? Lord, we love you. Bless you. Thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you just cover this word with your blood, Lord, and let it grow fruit for your glory, Lord, and help us where we struggle, Lord, being a servant, Lord. Help us love that neighbor, Lord. Help us be that person that we see that we see on a side street who needs that help, that we can go up to and help and pray for them, Lord. Let us be like you, Lord. That shows compassion, love, kindness in everything we do, Lord. And help us die to ourselves daily, Lord, so we can be Christ-like like you. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name.